indescribable. Well, Kelly, we promised already that mm-hmm. it is time for our biblical worldview question of the week with Nancy Fitzgerald.
Yep, we're ready to get to it. And by the way, just to tell you up front, in case you're busy this morning and you know you got to get out of the car or out of the house before... can't talk this morning. Take two. Before you finish listening to the Biblical Worldview Question of the Week, you can connect with Nancy at anchorsaway.org. Nancy, good morning.
Well, good morning to you.
Well, Nancy, you know, we often think about this, and I don't understand. There is so much that's going on. Our scripture, we were talking about the very fact that with everything that's happening around us, you know, it's easy for us to take our eyes off mm-hmm. of celebrating the true meaning of Christmas, the coming Messiah. Well, you know, the inaugural celebration of the coming Messiah yeah. happened, and the Jews just questioned that Jesus was mm-hmm. even him. Why is this?
Well, it is such an interesting question, and you can go a lot of different places with it. But, you know, the birth of Jesus, God's son, really should not have been a surprise to the Jews. I mean, first of all, Jesus was a Jew. The Jews were the writers of the Old and the New Testaments who were inspired through the Holy Spirit to write about the coming Messiah. You know, it is right out there. And their manuscripts included 333 prophecies about the coming of Jesus, his life, his ministry, his death, his resurrection. You know, it was all right there. As a matter of fact, the first of these prophecies came shortly after Adam and Eve sinned, which resulted in a broken relationship with God. And because of God's immeasurable love for those he created, Jesus chose through a prophecy telling people, you know what, you sinned against me, but guess what? I've got that covered. And he did that in Genesis 3:15. He said, I will put enmity between you and the woman, talking to Satan here, strife between you and the woman, between your offspring and her offspring. That offspring is singular male, referring to the coming of Jesus. And he goes on and says, he shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. It's there. Samuel wrote about it. When your days are over, you shall rest with your ancestors. I will raise up your offspring. Same thing. That's Jesus to succeed you, your own flesh and blood. And I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. So we see hints and not so, you know, that are just absolutely amazing, but it just doesn't stop there. It continues. Bible's the only religious book that has prophecies foretelling, mm-hmm. and every one of them came true in Jesus. It's just, we should have known. Again, Kelly, I think it's just the idea of religion versus mm-hmm. relationship here.
Yeah.
And they missed it. And so do we.
Well, yeah, we do. I was going to say that, too. And, you know, just looking at prophecy, my goodness, when we have the whole of Scripture now, and I love how Scripture verifies yeah. Scripture as truth, and you can go back and dig through history, and you're going to see that verifies Scripture. So he is who he says he is. But back then, Nancy, we're looking at the very, very, very early Jewish people. What would have been the significance to them of the prophecy of Jesus being born in Bethlehem?
Well, first of all, yes, the idea of Jesus being born in Bethlehem probably doesn't seem like a big deal, you know. Bethlehem was just a nothing town. And why would a King of Kings and the Lord of Lords... you know, be born there. But indeed, as you said earlier, the prophecy that Jesus was going to be born in Bethlehem fulfills a prophecy that was written in 800 BC by Micah. And Micah said, but you, Bethlehem Ephrath, are too little to be among the clans of Judah, for from you shall come forth for me one who will be the ruler of Israel, whose coming forth is from the old, from ancient days. And there you go. And of course, Matthew 2:1, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, you know, during the time of King Herod, the Magi from the east came to Jerusalem. So there you see, again, 800 years earlier, Micah, the prophet, wrote that, yes, this coming Messiah would be born in that little town, insignificant town called Bethlehem.
Well, Kelly, I'm sitting here and I'm thinking of these questions and what it means for us as we approach this new season, another holiday. But what would they have understood about the scripture that would actually verify that he was the Messiah?
Yeah, well, they knew the prophet Isaiah. And, of course, they were very familiar with that. But again, if religion gets in the way, we're going to miss so much. In Isaiah 7:14, talking about scripture verifying that Jesus was the Messiah, this is the prediction that he wrote concerning the virgin birth of Jesus. And when did he write this? 720 years before it came to pass. And he said, behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and he will call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. And then we go to Luke, you know, 720 years later, and Luke records this: in the virgin's name was Mary, and the angel came and said, greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. But she was greatly troubled at saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. For the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus. And he will be great and be called the Son, the Most High. And the Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. In the kingdom there will be no end. And Mary said, how can this be true since I am a virgin? And the angel said, the Holy Spirit will come on you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called the Son of God. And Mary said, behold, I'm a servant of God. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed. There we have it right there before us. Just this idea of saying God wrote it, he said it, he's faithful, he is sovereign, and it will come to pass, which is should be a huge blessing to us today in the midst of all that's going on.
You know, you've got to know that, I mean, God foresees all. He knows all. He made everything. And even in sending Jesus here for our sakes, I believe that, you know, he saw, obviously, and we can go back and verify it through scripture, that we were going to reject him. The Jews, the early Jews, were going to reject him. And it's as if God, in his great love and mercy, is just showing sign after sign after sign through Jesus that he is the Christ. And look at all the miracles he did, another sign of his deity. Talk about those, Nancy. They should have taken note of those.
Oh, for sure. And again, let me just say this, that the Jews, the religious ones, and the Jewish people, again, they were under Roman oppression. They were looking for a king that would stomp out the Romans. And they really didn't think they needed a Messiah, you know, like so many of us today. This is just so reflective of our times, but you're right. The Old Testament, again, Isaiah 35:4-6 says this: say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not, for behold, your God will come with vengeance and will recompense the of God with the recompense of God. He will come and he will save you. Then the eyes of the blind will be open and the ears of the deaf unstopped. And shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. He's coming. He is coming. And this fulfillment is seeing in Matthew 11, 3 through 6, and there's many, many of these in the New Testament, but where Matthew reports, go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, and those who have leprosy are clean. The deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me. There you have it. And Jesus, these prophecies are incredible. He even predicts his own death and resurrection for the forgiveness of sin. He predicts this before it happened. He did this in Matthew 26. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. He knew he was going to be killed, and he was telling people, I'm going to allow this to happen so that your sins can be forgiven. And then John 2:19, and Jesus answered him, here he is again, telling them what's going to happen, destroy this temple, and 3 days later, I will raise it up. And he was talking about his body at that point. But it's all over the place. It's amazing when you really, God opens your eyes and you can see this stuff.
Well, you see constantly the tension between the Pharisees and Jesus. And you would think that above all others that they would have recognized the deity of Jesus, but they didn't. So how did they actually view him? How could they miss that fulfillment of prophecy?
Yeah, and it's the same reason, Steve, why so many miss it, you know. And the Pharisees originally, you know, when Jesus came, they were curious. They saw Jesus as a godly man and a good teacher. But then they became envious. See, it's this thing about pride and self that kind of took over. When they realized how much people loved Jesus and how many of them wanted to follow them, you know, their jealousy moved them to plot and to carry out his death. This is the guy that proved that he was God. And they were plotting his death. In other words, plotting to kill God. It seems absolutely outrageous on this side of the cross. You know, the Jewish people also did not know Jesus as their Messiah. Again, because they chose not to look at the truth. They chose to go with what they wanted, what they thought they needed, which was that king, and that would wipe out the Romans. And how sad that so many were missed worshiping the long-awaited Messiah because of their inability to see beyond themselves. And I think, wow, that is just the crux of so much of what we are about. We get hung up in ourselves, in our own story, and we forget the meta-narrative, the big story that God said, look, I'm coming to save you. I'm coming to heal you. I'm coming to give you hope. but I think if we ask ourselves the tough questions, if we were living at the time of Jesus, would we have recognized the Messiah and followed him, or would we go with the crowd? And are you following him now? I think there's so many religious people in this world, as there were back then, who thought that being religious was the answer to life, and it's not. It's not being religious. It's not having perfect attendance. It's God said he's after the heart, and he sees our heart, and we just need to be those people who worship God for who the Bible says he is and realize that there's a battle going on in this world. Many choose not to believe. By their choice, but certainly they are without excuse, as Romans 1 makes very clear. Matthew 7:13-14, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter it are many, for the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. But those who find it are few. And there it is. It's just this idea. Look at what the Bible says. Look, believe, receive. And I think a great closing to this question is Galatians 1:3-5. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age. There it is. According to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. There it is. Rescue us from the present evil age. He's here for us in these very troubling times, calling us just like he was in the first century, calling us to believe in him, to trust in him, that we might have that peace that passes all understanding. That's the celebration of the Prince of Peace in his birth, to save us and to love us.
This has been so good, Nancy. And I mean, it's a valuable history lesson as we look back through time at, you know, the Jews were looking for Messiah. They didn't recognize him when he came, not all of them, but still it's a lesson for all of us today, Jewish or not Jewish, because we come up with so many excuses to not believe. Yeah. Listen, if you want to get involved with the teaching of biblical worldview, connect with Nancy's ministry. Anchorsaway.org is where you will find it. You can also click on the resources tab at morningswithkellyandsteve.org. And a lot of resources there on Nancy's site. You can learn how to teach biblical worldview. Take a look at it, see what you think, get involved. But Nancy, thanks again, always, for doing this for us faithfully, week after week after week. We appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate you guys so much. It's an honor to do it. I just hope that it helps people kind of declutter their lives and take a moment to think how much they're loved and that God will care for them, even though times are just ridiculously so hard for so many. God is there in the midst, and he wants to walk it through with you. So,
times,
good news.
Times are crazy, Nancy, and we certainly need the confidence that we have that Christ is walking with us. And so we thank you, and we will look forward to next week's question. If you want to find out more, you can go to anchorsaway.org or go to kellyandsteve.org and hit the resources tab, and that'll link you right there as well. Let's take a look here at the weather with Randy Ollis, because I'm looking forward to Thursday. It's only Tuesday, but I'm already looking forward to Thursday because of the temperatures. Randy, what's going to happen out there?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the weekend. I don't care about the weather. I just want the weekend to get here, you know, and I work these long days, and I'm exhausted by, you know, Friday night. So, hey, Thursday is the day as we head into the month of December. Today looks good. Sunshine and warmer afternoon. We'll call for a high around 47. Clouds come rolling in tonight. Low temperature down around 33. Tomorrow, December 1st, hard to believe here, but boy, the year kind of sailing by. Cloudy skies, little wave comes down. I think we're going to see some light rain showers at times here during the day on Wednesday. Probably well under a quarter inch of rainfall, the high of 48 degrees. Thursday, you know, if you can take Thursday off, try to do it. I may cut the grass one more time just to get some leaves up. We'll see. Sunny, breezy, unseasonably mild. Let's go the high near 60. Friday, sunny, cooler, 54 degrees. Cooler this week, and we'll go dry on Saturday. Then I think a pretty good chance of some rain showers coming in. Highs in the 40s during the day on Sunday.
All right.
Hey, I'll be out Thursday.
Yeah. Oh, you're already announcing it, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Kelly's already, she's there. Getting a tickle in her throat there. She feels that cough coming on. Yeah,
she's
like, yeah.
She's staying away for us here, Steve. Not for her, but she's
doing it for you.
Us,
so,
yeah. Okay.
I've been down this road before. So.
Self-sacrificial.
All right, see you in a couple weeks then, Kelly. I'm sure you'll be gone quite a while.
Brother, well, we appreciate that. So glad for you. Glad you had a nice Thanksgiving. Glad we're all back together again. And
one big happy family. Did I say that, Kelly? One big dysfunctional. I mean, one big happy family. Here we are.
Well, you can be dysfunctional and happy.
That's true. That's where most of us live.
So. Yep.
That's right. Yeah. All right, then. Well, we'll check in with you tomorrow, Randy. Thanks again. God bless you, brother. We'll talk to you then.
See you guys. Bye.
Bye.
See ya. Hey, don't forget our biblical worldview question of the week information is always available. You can find that wherever you download your podcast goodies. Mm-hmm. That's right. It'll always be posted there, as well as everything else that you hear right here on Mornings with Kelly and Steve.